Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially toward the beginning. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And so we turn back the clock, we turn it back a couple of weeks, where the story at the beginning of Mark chapter 6 was Jesus went to his hometown and there went into the synagogue and there he preached. And you might remember the response from the people there. At first they were amazed at what he was saying. Then they took offense. And in Mark it says he was astonished at their unbelief. It's another gospel, it's Luke, fills that out a bit more, and it says that they were offended at him and dragged him out of the temple, took him to the edge of the cliff on which their city was built, and they were going to throw him over. But he slipped through the crowd and went his way. That's quite amazing. The response to the Word of God, which is what it is. And it's always this dealing with the Word of God. And I asked you 2 weeks ago, when Jesus went to church and they would not listen, what then did he do? And the answer was, he gave them more of the Word of God. Because it said back then, he then went throughout the villages around the area teaching and preaching. And then he gave them more of the Word of God because it says he sent his disciples out two by two to go out and preach the Word of God. And the story picks up at this point in the gospel lesson with, and the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. If you want to know what they were teaching, you could take a side trip into the epistle lesson and hear Paul telling about Jesus Christ, who came to put away the judgment of the law, to bear it on himself, to carry it off to the cross, and there at the cross, he takes us who were far away and estranged from God, and the people of God who were close but had not received the Word of God, brings us together at the cross to have his Word. Because the Word of God is that means of grace thing. It is what God uses to create faith, to strengthen faith, to renew us in faith, to call us to Christ, to call us into salvation, to call us to his truths. And yes, I'm going to repeat from a couple weeks ago, whether that Word of God is the raw Word of God there in the Bible, or whether the Word of God is then mixed with water, as we have the words of Jesus mixed with the water and poured over us, and we call it baptism, or we call it the wet word, or whether the Word of God is the words of Jesus at the Lord's Supper, promising us his body and his blood, and saying, for the forgiveness of sins, that word is faith creating. It's always dealing with the Word of God. And when they would not believe, what is there to do? And the answer comes back, more of the Word of God. And so Jesus, following up the Word of God that they rejected, follows up with the Word of God and follows up with more Word of God. And now we see the results. And it says, many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And part of the lesson there is the title for the sermon, Hunger. The people had learned through the things that had happened in between. They had learned to hunger for the Word of God. And that's an amazing lesson that carries down even to our day. You know the saying, when all else fails, read the directions. Okay? The directions. You want a summary of the directions? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How does that go after that? Okay. Those are the directions. It is all bound together in Jesus Christ. And that is where the Word of God comes to us, where the message of forgiveness of sins comes to us, and we need it. If you're not hungry for it right now, get through a few days of this week. If you're not hungry then, get through a few more days. You'll be hungry. Because deep down inside, you know the truth of this. You know that you absolutely have to have that Word of God in Jesus Christ promising forgiveness of sins for your soul to be right with God. And because if you are not right with God, what are you? There's four letters to it. Begins with a D, ends with a D. Dead. But we're heading someplace with this. So they head off in the boat, and now the people, realizing this fellow has the Word of God, and what he says gives us forgiveness. And without that forgiveness, we are lost. They find out the direction they're going, and people from the towns around, they go taking off running by foot. Running on ahead, so that when Jesus gets there and gets out of the boat, what's he see? A large crowd. He looks at them and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. That also is a phrase that has very deep meaning. What happens when sheep are without a shepherd? Every which way. Apply that spiritually. Sheep without a shepherd. What do they start believing? Anything, everything, whatever feels good for the moment. We will believe the craziest stuff spiritually. And we'll latch onto that and say, well, it has to be this way because it makes me feel good right now. Sheep without a shepherd. And the only cure for that is to have a shepherd. And when there is a shepherd, the shepherd, what he does is he calls the sheep, begins gathering them from here and there and from everywhere. We know the truth to that too. We know that Jesus is the shepherd. And as he gathered the people to himself, he began to teach them. Here it comes around again. What was he teaching them? And what was that part of the Word of God? You could take a side detour into the epistle lesson and hear Paul talking about Jesus Christ, who through his cross reconciled us, carrying our sin off on the cross to give forgiveness to us, to remove the wall of separation, and not only between us as people, but between us and God, to bring us back into fellowship with God. There's the heart, there's the core, there is where he is calling them to come to him. In the center of that truth. And he is feeding them with that truth. So time goes on, and he teaches them and continues to teach them until the day is getting late. They're hungry. They want to hear more and more and more. They're not leaving. And the disciples come and say, "It's late, send them off to buy food." Did you hear Jesus' answer to them? No. No, it's, "You give them something to eat." And he does that fairly frequently with the disciples, and they have no clue what he's talking about. "You give them something to eat." From where? We can't buy enough food for all these people. Another gospel lesson says, one of the other gospel writers, "What is that among so many?" Okay. "But you give them something to eat." Jesus has arranged the whole thing. The setting is a desolate place, and he's going to give them bread from heaven. What does that remind you of? Yeah, it's the people of Israel out in the wilderness, and they would connect it with what Moses had done, which wasn't really Moses, of course, but bread from heaven out into the wilderness. And here's part of the lesson to tag it on here. The people of Israel going without God, what were they? Dead. The people of Israel going through the wilderness, if the manna wasn't there day after day after day after day, what would they be? Dead. Now, there's two different things. Don't confuse the two, but don't completely separate them. Because God who gives manna from heaven is God who gives the word of forgiveness from heaven. And he is teaching us hunger, hunger in the soul. It's like hunger in the body. But man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so Jesus is giving them that lesson about, where do you get your life? You get your life from God. And that's as true about the manna, the daily bread that we talked about. The daily bread for your life, you need it. As it is true about the daily bread for the soul, you need it. But you give them something to eat. Okay. Well, let's call the question. Did the disciples give them something to eat? Yes. After they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to him. After Jesus took them, said a prayer of thanks, blessed the loaves and the fish. After Jesus began to break them, and miraculously there was more and more and more and more. And after Jesus gave them to the disciples to give them to the people, then yes, they gave them something to eat. Is there a lesson there in that for us? Yeah. And here's the lesson. Jesus says to the disciples, "Come on, let's do a miracle. Let's do a miracle. But come on, join with me here." And he does all of the amazing things, but the disciples get to tag along and participate in it, and the disciples gave them something to eat. What an amazing thing. True down to our day as well. Jesus is doing his work, and he invites his people to come along as he does his work, caring for our neighbor. 8 days from now, we'll have our Kicks shoe distribution, and we will care for our neighbors. Who's doing the work? It's Jesus. Who's doing the work? Well, we are as well. We're kind of tagging along. But here's the amazing work of God and what Jesus is actually doing. Jesus is doing the work of gathering people from every nation and language into his kingdom until there is such a multitude that no one could count. Guess what? He's saying to us, come along. Let's do the work of saving souls. And we quite correctly would say, Lord, we can't save souls. But he says, come on. And he does the work. He gives the words. He sends his spirit. He works in the souls of people. But I get to say those words. And that's really cool. I get to speak the word of God. And Jesus promises that he is working through that word of God. So when I tell you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, who's doing the work? Jesus. But I got to say it with my lips. Psst. And when I say it with my lips, I've said this before, who's the first person to hear it when it comes out of my mouth? Short distance. That's sweet, to be a part of speaking the word of God to each other, in our families, in our congregation, to be a part of speaking that message that comes from God, that through Jesus your sins are forgiven. Through Jesus, it's all washed away. Through Jesus, the wall is torn down. You belong to God. Through Jesus, you have eternal life. And we share that with each other. What an amazing thing Christianity is. In Jesus' name, amen.